This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, a magnificent Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I nailed it. Boom. Totally nailed it. I tell you what else might be nailed is Tish James, Letitia James. Now, I'm going to play you her in just a moment, but Letitia James, she is the Attorney General of New York. She is an insanely ambitious human being. You may remember this.
Oh, come on. We're in a house of God. First, simmer down. I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
That was when Letitia James walked into a bunch of firefighters and started running her fat mouth, and the firefighters started chanting for Trump. Anyway, Letitia James may be in quite a pickle, you see. It appears that she lied on a mortgage application. Now, the only reason I brought this up is there is a chance for you to get your hopes up here. Letitia James used her position as Attorney General to prosecute and convict Donald Trump. She promised she was going to do so on the campaign trail. Then she got elected, and because Democrats are evil, she did it. She ran for office promising to use her role as Attorney General to prosecute a Republican she didn't like, got elected, and did it. Just one of the most nakedly corrupt things I've ever seen in my life. She did it. Donald Trump is a convicted felon because of Letitia James. So, good. This is a good start. A very good start. Is it enough? Of course it's not, but it's a very, very good start. And maybe you're uncomfortable with it. And if you are uncomfortable with it, I understand. I really do. I'm not going to call you out for being uncomfortable with it. However, what did Joe Biden's 4 years show us? What did it show us? Because remember, Joe Biden's 4 years came after Donald Trump's 4 years. And Donald Trump ran for office the first time, let's be honest. And he loved to do things like lock her up chants about Hillary Clinton. Lock her up. We'll lock her up. You're a criminal. Remember that famous moment in the debate? Because you'd be in jail and all that other stuff. And we loved it. Yeah, prosecutor. And then dropped all of it as soon as he got elected. Dropped all of it. Had the Clintons for some fancy meal. And then introduced them. Oh, yeah, the Clintons. Oh, this and that. He got elected. And then dropped all that stuff, thinking that he still lived in some sort of a normal country. Did not prosecute Democrats, didn't go after them, dropped the entire thing. How did Democrats respond to Donald Trump's 4 years of being nice and doing it the right way? How did they respond? They promptly ran him out of office, took over, and sent every single part of the government after their political opponents. Then they raided his home, arrested him, convicted him of felonies, and tried to send him to prison several times over, and would have succeeded most likely in sending him to prison in Georgia if not for the prosecutor there having an affair with somebody. That's how they responded and rewarded his niceness. Don't you ever, ever believe any one of these losers on the right who tells you not to react to communists, not to fight back. If you do that, what will they do to us? You can never think like that. You must aggressively deal with communists the second you get a chance to, because they only understand fear and pain. And if you do not aggressively pursue these people, they will perceive it as weakness. And like sharks with blood in the water, they will just start tearing through everything as fast as they could. When Donald Trump finally got run out of office the first time, after they destroyed his economy, after they completely wrecked him and took advantage of every bit of his niceness and naivete, they promptly brought out the fangs and tried to throw him in federal prison for the rest of his natural life. Donald Trump's kindness the first time was rewarded with FBI agents rifling through his wife's underwear drawer. That is how kind communists treated Donald Trump after he showed some level of, I don't even know if I want to call it kindness. I'm just going to stick with naivete. So now we know. Now we know what most definitely does not work. So, time to try something new, shall we? Hey, Jesse, I'm starting to realize we're toast. Our country doesn't even have the stomach to deport a MS-13 gang member without squirming over it for a week. What would happen if they deported a woman or child? It's just never going to happen. Buenas tardes, he said his name is Kyle. Okay, Kyle, well, I can't kill you for saying something that I've kind of said on the air, that I think mass deportations of 20 million people will never happen because I do not believe the American people have the stomach for it. I know you have the stomach for it. I'm not talking about you, so don't send me an email. Yes, I do. I know you do. I'm talking about the normies. I don't believe they can handle it. However, our country, you said here, our country doesn't even have the stomach to deport an MS-13 gang member without squirming over it for a week. I think it's important to separate the American people from the communist American media and communist party of America known as the Democrat Party. Yes, I am fully aware that this has been the media for a week.
There's due process that exists in this country for everybody. And the fact that this man had received no due process, he was effectively disappeared to a foreign country, a country which he came from, which he was
It's not a foreign country. He lives there.
Excuse me. No, he does not live there.
He's a citizen of El Salvador.
Scott, excuse me. He got asylum in this country.
He's a citizen.
Scott.
Today is 34 days of after his disappearance. And I stand before you filled with spirit that refuses to bring down. I will not stop fighting until I see my husband alive. Kilmer, if you can hear me, stay strong. God hasn't forgotten about you. Our children are asking, when would you come home? And I pray for the day I tell them the time and date that you'll return.
I'm aware. But I'm also aware of this.
To NBC News, there is a growing number of voters who are identifying with the MAGA movement. From January 2024, it was 20%. March 2025, it is 36%. So we're actually seeing the country kind of moving in these opposite directions. Lots of fire and energy on the left, but on the right, more and more Americans are comfortable saying, I'm MAGA.
Let me make you feel good about something. We'll get back and we'll do more of this. The American people are not the American media. The American people are not the American Democrat Party. In fact, Trump has never been more popular, and the American Democrat Party has never been, ever in the history of their polling, it has never been less popular. So when you turn on CNN and when you look at Senator Van Hollen and you see all these people defending an MS-13 gang member, it can be easy to say to yourself, we can't do it. We don't have the stomach for it. What is going on here? That's not what the American people are saying. The American people are not upset about what they're seeing. They're not upset about deportations. They're not upset about tariffs. They're not. They're just not. All right? All right. Emails next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. I want to remind you, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I also want to remind you that I'm uneducated, okay? Everyone knows this. I was a bad student. I didn't like school. I skipped as much class as I could. I was more interested in having fun with my friends, girls, and things like that. I actually got a 0.0 grade point average my first semester of college. That's a true story. I have almost 3 years of community college credits, so I get that. But even as somebody who's not educated, I still know when some words and uses of words do not make sense. What's the top law enforcement officer in a state or the country? What's it called? Chris, what's it called? What's the name of it? No. One, just one. What's one of them called, Chris? If there's one of them, what's it called? No. It's called Attorney General. The top law enforcement officer in a state is the Attorney General of the state. The top law enforcement officer of the country, Pam Bondi. She is what? She is the Attorney General. That's her title, Attorney General. Okay? Why is the plural form of that word, that term, Attorneys General? Why are you putting the S on the wrong term? The S goes on the second term. And I don't even care about your explanation. I don't want to hear about your education. Or I was an English major. Hey, Jesse, I studied law. I don't care. It sounds stupid because it is stupid. If one of these people is an attorney general, then multiple are attorney generals, okay? Yet I'm looking at a headline here. 15 state attorneys general ask the CEO or whatever. It doesn't even matter what the rest of it is. I'm too distracted by how dumb the first thing is. It should be attorney generals. And on this show, it is now and always will be attorney generals. What, Chris? I don't need your legal explanations for why it is, Chris. Okay? I don't care how many of your people I offended. I am going to call them attorney generals from now until the day I die. Jesse, the thing that worries me about sending American citizens to prison in El Salvador is what the communists will do when they get back into power. What would they have done to the January Sixers if they could? Maybe we should not set that precedent. Okay, first, the person we sent to El Salvador is not an American citizen. Period. End of story. There have been zero American citizens deported or sent anywhere other than America. So that's first. That's the first part of that. The second part of it is, what would they have done to the January Sixers if they could have? Do you know what they did to the January Sixers? By this point, 100 days into Joe Biden's presidency, they had hundreds of these people already in custody. They kept them in the D.C. jail system in such bad conditions that they, honestly, you could argue it was human rights violations, what they did to these people. They kept them forever without trial. And then when they finally put them through a trial, they put them in a trial with a communist judge, a communist attorney, communist DA, I'm sorry, a communist jury. And then they overcharged these people with terrorism charges to such a degree that you would take a misdemeanor trespassing charge and send someone off to federal prison for years. The one dude got, I don't remember how many years it was, and he didn't even step foot inside of the Capitol. What will the communists do when they get power again? As bad as they can possibly do it. That's what they will do. And the only tiny chance you have at them not being as bad as they can possibly be is striking some sort of fear inside of these people that it will happen to them one day. That is the only chance you have. You must, what did Solzhenitsyn say? You must handle them. All they understand is the fist. That is all they understand. There is no other language they understand because they are religious zealots. You need to think of communists as if they are jihadis. That's the most accurate representation of how these communists think. Are you going to reason with a jihadi? Hey, please don't drive your car into a group of school kids. It would be wrong. Well, that's not going to work. Are you going to somehow appeal to his heart? Well, that's not going to work. The only chance you have is finding a way to visit fear or pain and or pain onto him. It's the only chance you have to dissuade him from it. There are countries around the globe, civilized countries even, that I won't go into. They'll hurt your family if you're a jihadi. They'll flat out, because that's all they understand. Oh, really? You're not going to tell me the name of the leader of your terror cell? Here's a picture of your wife and kids. We're about to throw them off a building. That's awful. I hate that. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's also the only thing that works on them. Religious zealots only understand fear and pain. They will never be inspired by your good conduct, ever. It will never happen. I'm sorry. I know that's hard to accept for normal people. But what if they do worse? Brother, they're going to do as bad as they can do. They just proved it for 4 years. You better give some back. You want to learn about capitalism so the next time your liberal Aunt Peggy starts screeching and yelling about how great socialism is, you can put her in her place with facts? You want to talk about private property rights? Why capitalism is a system that actually encourages morality rather than undermines it? Do these concepts fascinate you? Hillsdale College will teach you about these things for free. More than 40 free online courses right now from Hillsdale College. They have a 7-lecture series, Understanding Capitalism. It is the best I've ever heard. And it's so easy to understand. Look, if I can get it, anyone can get it. It's easy to understand. My kids get it. My sons listen and they, you can see the light bulbs going on. Do it with your family. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is how you enroll. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. All right. Let's talk briefly about Harvard's tax-exempt status. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Mark Goldwater, he was talking about Harvard. Harvard, you see, Harvard's going to lose its tax-exempt status. Now, let's just remember, the system exists on your money. It goes way beyond just government organizations. There are, of course, NGOs, non-government organizations, but it goes so far beyond that. Industry after industry, in country after country, including our own, communist industries exist on your tax money. It's not just that the communist revolution is being funded and organized, it's that it's being funded by you, by me. Harvard, I have said before, and I will repeat it until the day I die, if you wanted one tangible thing that you could do, I'm not talking about, well, we need to educate the youth, not that, but if you wanted one tangible thing to do to save the United States of America, you would take our top 50 universities, not the bottom, not any random 50. If you took our top 50 universities, fired everyone at the university, closed down the school, demoed the buildings to the ground, the United States of America would flourish in ways you cannot possibly imagine. It's not just that these universities are poison. It's that universities like Harvard, they are the pipeline into high society. So, look, it's one thing if my alma mater, Pima Community College, turns into a raging communist dump. That's obviously not ideal, but you could probably live with it. Because here's the truth. Pima Community College isn't producing presidents, generals, CEOs. It's just not. With all due respect, love you, Pima. It's just not. But Harvard is. Harvard is a pipeline into high society, into the people who run the country. Therefore, if Harvard turns into a communist training camp and people who get into Harvard can only succeed at Harvard and graduate Harvard by talking about how much America sucks, and then those people carry those beliefs out into leadership positions in the country, that's devastating. It's devastating for the country. I brought up earlier in the show the kindergarten teacher. Let's just make it about her. What would happen to your country if all kindergarten teachers, you had to go into a kindergarten teacher school and all kindergarten teachers were indoctrinated firmly in the belief that America sucks and that it's an evil place? What would happen in kindergartens across the country? It'd be devastating. Well, that's Harvard. Anyway, they're whining.
The U.S. Supreme Court has already held that a charitable organization, including specifically a university, can lose its tax-exempt status if they are violating fundamental policy. That was Bob Jones University versus the U.S. in 1983. They lost their tax-exempt status because their racist, discriminatory policies were contrary to a compelling governmental interest and to public policy. Harvard has said they will not comply with what the federal government says they need to as it relates to enforcing non-discrimination policies. Of course, they can lose their federal exempt tax status.
Mark, I just, this is John Avalon.
That's hilarious. If that actually happens, if they actually sign on the dotted line for that, I hope it's not just a threat. That's hilarious. Now, look, it's a good start, right? And I realize they had to use the excuse of, oh, it's Hamas on. I know there were a bunch of excuses they had to use to justify it, but it's something. It's something. Again, maybe I'm just in a good mood today after being in a bad mood the past couple of days. We're not getting everything we want. We're not getting it fast enough. I get that, but it's something. It's more than we had before. Poor Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' ex-wife, her kids aren't going to have what she had.
I wanted to split off and do my own work through Pivotal Ventures because I thought there were things I wanted to do in the United States that would be easier to do really under my own organization. And one of the things that spurred me on was thinking about the fact that my two granddaughters, who are ages 2 and 5 months, they don't have as many rights right now as I did growing up. And that just doesn't make any sense to me.
A reminder that American Democrats reside entirely in a world of make-believe. That maybe you're screaming at the radio right now the exact same thing Jewish producer Chris is screaming at me. What rights? Tell me what rights. Well, she's not talking about reality. You see, she understands in order to sell communism to the masses, it requires lying. You have to lie about everything, not one or two things, everything at all times.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
You know, lying is a requirement. And it's a requirement because the masses need to live in a world of make-believe. We have legions of mentally ill single women out there marching to the polls as the beating heart of the Democrat Party. You need those women to continue to be everything to you. They are your best workers. They will bust their butts for you. Eventually, some moron guy will marry them thinking he can change her. Instead, she will shatter his spirit, break him away from his family, and take all of his money and use it for Democrat policies. Single mentally ill women are the beating heart of the Democrat Party, and you must continue to feed these gullible morons as many lies as humanly possible because they will ingest them, they will believe them, and then having believed these ridiculous lies, they will march like foot soldiers into Mordor and fight tooth and nail on behalf of Democrats. I know it's crazy. I know it's wrong. Your liberal Aunt Peggy genuinely believes she's lost rights. She does. You see these crazy women, they put these videos out online of, I'm so sad, I'm just so scared. I hope I'm not going to be killed. And you laugh and you roll your eyes and I laugh and I roll my eyes. What is this quacky woman talking about? I say the exact same thing you do. But here's the truth. She believes it all the way. She just got done snorting 10 Xanax, and now she believes all the way that she somehow has less rights, that she has been oppressed, that she will be killed, that she, and of course it's bonkers. And you know what's the best part about this? If you actually try to nail them down on it, what they'll come down to is, well, it's all abortion. What's she actually saying? What are they actually trying to reference with this stuff?
I wanted to split off and do my own work through Pivotal Ventures because I thought there were things I wanted to do in the United States that would be easier to do really under my own organization. And one of the things that spurred me on was thinking about the fact that my two granddaughters, who are ages 2 and 5 months, they don't have as many rights right now as I did growing up. And that just doesn't make any sense to me.
She's describing the motivation she had to start her own organization, and what motivated her to start her own organization was she wanted her granddaughters to be able to abort their babies. Remember, this is a spiritual war. We are dealing with demons here. We are. I'm 43. My kids are 16 and 14. Lord willing, they're not about to be fathers. They don't even have girlfriends as at this moment. I already think about being a grandpa. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to spoil the daylights out of those kids. I'm going to be at every practice. You get mad when I miss a day here or a day there. I'll be gone all the time when I have grandkids because I ain't missing nothing. Not for the show, not for anything. I'm going to be at every stupid little play, kindergarten. I'm going to be at all of it, bringing them candy. I already can't wait to be a grandpa. This demonic communist, she started her own foundation so her granddaughters could murder her great-grandkids one day. Whew. Yeah, that's what we're up against. Anyway, get yourself a new cell phone service. Pocket some cash. If no other reason, stop funding the culture war against you and your values. Verizon works against your values with your money. AT&T works against your values with your money. T-Mobile works against your values with your money. All that DEI, ESG stuff, who do you think were the leaders in that garbage? Pure Talk doesn't do that crap. Pure Talk is so pro-America. They have so much red, white, and blue in their veins. Pure Talk hires Americans who speak English. How fantastic is that? Here's what you do. You pick up your phone. Don't worry. You can keep your phone and keep your phone number. You dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We will, of course, be back tomorrow. I can't believe how fast the week is going. Probably because I messed the day up several times tonight, but I don't know. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Do not forget to subscribe. And then leave a review talking about how huge my hands are. Dear Jesse, Your Highness, first time I listened to you, I thought you were dumber than a box of rocks. That's true. So it took me a minute to get around to listening to you again. Lo and behold, I just happened to tune in when you were telling a war story. I'm hooked. I get excited about your next story. My father fought in World War II, survived Normandy Beach on D-Day. Gosh, that's sick. Korean War, he started ground troops, master sergeant in the Air Force. You do have a way with words. I decided you rock. Even your insults are hilarious. Glad somebody finally said it about the Christy Gnome photo ops. She didn't say I can say her name, but she sounds sweet. She also said, I'm a military brat who still drinks daily out of her father's World War II stainless steel mess kit cup. This woman sounds awesome. My local radio in San Antonio was discussing Ken Paxton running in the primary against John Cornyn and the cost and money, but also the hit pieces the DNC would get out of a nasty primary.
and that Cornyn should choose to be a statesman and step out of the race. If enough people called for his resignation and made it known that people don't want him anymore, do you think he would choose to step out of the race instead of go through a nasty primary? Listen. Guys like John Cornyn, and there are many of these types in both parties, okay? But guys like John Cornyn, they have found the only avenue in life that will bring them prestige and respect and wealth and a feeling of being important. There are people all throughout politics who actually are talented and who have accomplished great things outside of politics and or would accomplish great things outside of politics. There really are. There are some. But then there are people like John Cornyn. If John Cornyn was in the private sector, well, you'd never know his name. Now, for you, that's not important, right? Who cares if people know your name if you're famous? But for people like Cornyn, it's everything. It's absolutely everything. He would never give up being in the United States Senate willingly. And remember this, there are levels to things, which I never really realized, I'll be honest with you, until I was running for Congress. I didn't realize how wide the gap was between people who were established and in leadership versus people who just got there. If you don't know, you might be under the impression that the freshman senator or freshman member of the House, that he really has all the same stuff as the guy who's been there for 20 years. Oh my goodness, that is not the case at all. Here's a perfect example for you. I might mess up a name, but I don't think I will. Just stay with me. I was on the Hill, Capitol Hill. I was running for Congress. I was trying to raise money. So I was meeting with all these different congressmen, right? All these different congressmen. Hey, can you send some money from your campaign to my campaign? I'm trying to raise money. A lot of good it did. Anyway, I met with three of them because I was friends with one of them. He arranged for his buddies to meet me. Maybe you think we met in some marble-floored palace somewhere. There's a restaurant called Bull Feathers. Well, at least there was. I'm assuming it's still there. You're welcome to look it up. Bull Feathers, right off of Capitol Hill. It's Applebee's. It's what it is. And these guys, they look, it's fine. I'm not complaining, but it certainly was not fancy. And these guys, when they walked in, these are members of the House of Representatives. They didn't have staffers and things like that with them. They came in fairly disheveled, walked from Capitol Hill, walked in there, plopped down. We sat, had a beer, gabbed about things, talked about life. That was the thing. As we were leaving, I had to walk a couple blocks up towards the Capitol. A fleet, I believe there were three of them, if I remember right, a fleet of black SUVs, Chevy Suburbans, armored SUVs, pulled up in front of the Capitol. The minority leader, I believe he was at the time, John Boehner, maybe majority leader, I don't remember. Sorry, or Speaker of the House. I don't remember what the situation was, but a member of leadership at the time was leaving his office surrounded by armed guards in a fleet of armored vehicles getting ready to leave. John Cornyn, through 20-some years of being a useless suck-up barnacle in Washington, D.C., he's one of the armored car guys now. You think he's going to give that up? What happens to John Cornyn if, Lord willing, he loses next year? Everyone forgets his name. No more armored cars. No more prestige. Nothing. These people would never give that up. Ever.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Oh, speaking of which, planned Muslim city in Texas could discriminate against Christians and Jews, says Senator Cornyn. Whoa, no way. That doesn't sound realistic. Male fencer off of Wagner College's women's team after a female opponent forfeits the match. Finally, women are forfeiting and boycotting these matches, as we've talked about forever, and it's the only thing that's working. Continue to participate, and the tranny freaks will continue to destroy your sports. White House proposes axes the UN, NATO funds, and proposal axes UN and NATO funds and halves the State Department budget. See, these are good things. There are good things happening. Mexico seeks security coordination with the U.S. over border military moves. The cartels really are getting pounded down there, and it's probably about to get pretty spicy down in Mexico, and I'm not talking about the jalapenos. Anyway, that's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.